to see you. I'm so grateful that we stumbled upon St. Augustine's when we did. It's been such a blessing for our family, and it's just so great to be here. And my hope really this morning is that you would leave feeling encouraged with a bit more hope, and that you'll know that you don't have to carry your burdens on your own. I was born in Wellington, which is a pretty special place. And I left there when I was four and moved to Nelson. That's where I had a chunk of my life. And next month we would have called Auckland home for 8 years, which is pretty amazing. We love Auckland. And even though Nelsonians, for some reason, do not like Auckland, we love it a lot. And so does New, because he's from Nelson, is it? Yeah. But yeah, I am a mother of three amazing children, Isaiah, Hosanna, and Zachariah. I think Zach's out with Falcons, but Hosanna and Isaiah are here, which is cool. I think there's a photo. Oh, there you go. Look at that. Funny story. We had a big argument before taking that photo, because I was like, we never have any family photos. I'm like, you always say that, Mum. And we're like, doing false smiles. But anyway, that's us. And I am a sister. I'm one of five siblings. Two of my brothers are here this morning, which is really cool. But my sisters, one's in New York, actually, and one's in Nelson, celebrating Mother's Day. I'm also a daughter, obviously. I think there's a photo of me there. That's me next to my mum there after my youngest sibling was born. And that was a really significant age to me. I'll say shortly why. Shortly why in a minute. But I was 11, nearly 12 there. Look at my mum, isn't she amazing? She just like, that's just after giving birth, and she looks so beautiful. And also I'm an auntie as well, but I don't have a photo because there's so many nieces and nephews, but that's pretty amazing. But I want to share a talk with you this morning called Trusting God in the Unknown. I'm going to pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for this space to be able to share. Lord, I just pray you go before my words, and I pray people feel encouraged and they leave feeling more hopeful about their lives and others. In Jesus' name, amen. It's really hard to trust when we don't have control, when we don't know the answers and nothing is guaranteed. I feel like that's just life, right? It's a journey of continually trusting. Every day is a day of trust and trusting God in the unknown situations. Josiah and I have been married for nearly 18 years, which is pretty cool. I love being married to Josiah. But we're definitely two strong characters together. And so we're very, we love each other passionately. And he actually taught me how to drive, which you think teaching your kids is stressful, but being taught by your husband is a whole nother thing. I couldn't get my license for a while because of health reasons. And so Josiah had to teach me how to drive in a manual car, not an automatic. We had a manual back then. And it was my first time in a car, and he's like, it's all good, we'll go for a lap round at a place called Saxton's Car Park in Stoke Nelson, which is kind of where everyone learns how to drive. And he did a loop, he's like, yep, clutch, move it around, you're fine, we'll get on the road, because it's the best way to learn. It's the way I was taught, you face your fears, you know, it's just about being brave. I didn't want to go on the road, but next minute I'm out on the road, and a few bunny hops, stalls, marriage counselling sessions, and a lot more lessons. We got there in the end. But I often think that in that situation, and in situations like that, if we just trust our instructor, I'm humble to say it, and trust ourselves more, how differently it would go. If I had confidence and assurance, how much better the result would be. I totally let fear overcome me, went blank and forgot everything I knew, and didn't actually trust. I let fear totally overcome me. And I can be guilty with this with God, and I think, you know, often I must have it all figured out first before I bring it to God, have kind of an action plan. I don't do this on purpose. It's definitely a subconscious thing, but often if I could just involve Jesus from the start, maybe things would get better quicker, and I'd have a less emotional response and bring truth and clarity to it. But in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, It's not on the screen because I changed all my scriptures last minute. So I'm so sorry, Erica, after doing the slides. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else. So you're just going to have to follow along with me reading it. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try and figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. I love that. I'm just going to read it again. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try and figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. Life feels like a constant journey of trust. Like I said, daily trusting in Jesus. In every moment, in every season, in every victory, in every struggle, it all comes back to trusting in Him. One thing that I've learned at my old to some and young to some age is life is not perfect, and there'll be plenty of good and plenty of times that are really tough moments. I can guarantee you in this room right now that people are really struggling to trust God. In the midst of really difficult news and situations that you feel actually hopeless. Firstly, I just want to say I'm really sorry if you are dealing with news like that at the moment. And I really pray that you walk away feeling more hopeful and trust and hope being restored and regained. I've always been, probably my faith journey, I've always been very aware of God from a very young age. If people say to me, like, when did you give your life to God? Or, you know, I kind of feel like, well, I kind of always had been in conversation with Him. But probably 6 or 7, I made a formal decision at kids' church, and I was baptized at 8, and definitely experienced the Holy Spirit in that moment in love and comfort deeply. And I was reflecting on this and thinking, I think maybe the reason why I leaned into an intentional relationship with God is because I felt like no one could understand what was going on in my body and how I felt. From a young age, my body didn't behave in a way that was typically normal. My brain was behaving throughout my years as a child in a way that no one else around me had experienced. This is a photo of me as a baby on one of my many hospital trips. That's so cute. But also looked a bit terrifying as well. That's actually a hospital gown. How cute is the hospital gowns? Preparing this talk, I definitely felt emotional looking at photos, and I'm not going to show, that's the last photo I'm going to show this morning, you can take it off the screen. Because I know that sometimes when people talk about, especially health journeys, it can be a little bit triggering, and photos and different things, so I'll leave it at that. But it made me feel emotional because it definitely brought me back to the reality of how my relationship with Jesus began. It made me remember that first love, and the intimacy I felt as a child, and I never ever want to lose it. And I'm desperate for others to experience, rely, and live with the same love in their life. After a brain virus, very unusual episodes, seizures as a child, eventually at 12 I was diagnosed with epilepsy, and shortly after my sister Nadia was born, the photo that I shared earlier. My story is not a story of running away from God and coming back to Him. That's definitely not my story. It's not a story of God waving a magic wand and healing me. Sadly, that's not my story. This is not a story of everything becoming perfect after trusting in God. In fact, I'm still in the journey of learning what it is to trust in God in the unknown and trust God when things are totally out of my control. I don't know why different people's stories unfold the way they do. I'm not an expert in this at all. I don't know the why, but I do know from my experience that God is trustworthy and He deeply cares for us. He doesn't promise a perfect life, but He promises He will be with us in it. He might not change the outcome how we thought it would best be, but He meets us in it. He meets us in the thick of it. Whether you're filled this morning with faith or fear, you can bring it all to Him. So my epilepsy from 12 seemed a bit of a balancing act, trying to figure out medications, appointments with a neurologist, and sort of felt like I was very different, and I can still feel actually like a real misfit. I'm sure other people can relate to this feeling. And in August 2015, I was 26. Before you try and do the math to figure out how old I am, I'm 35. And had some seizures, so I got my license taken off me for a year. Working full-time, two kids in daycare, one child in school with no car, turns out to be quite difficult. And shout out to Josiah, because he pretty much had a side hustle of being my part-time voluntary Uber driver, running us around on top of his full-time job. But super grateful to strong medication to prevent me from having seizures, and eventually, obviously, because I drive now, I was able to drive again. But throughout this time, the doctors decided that I needed an MRI to check everything was okay, to see if there's any brain damage caused by the seizures. So I had an MRI that took place on September 2015, and I honestly didn't have one worry at all. I thought, you know what, like, it's fine, I'm going to be okay. I think as humans, sometimes we think we're a bit invincible, like everything happens to someone else and not to us. And the results came back a few weeks later. There was unusual activity on the left side of my brain, and there was an aneurysm. Didn't seem too concerned, so I kept quite calm also, which was quite surprising because typically I'm quite an anxious person, but I felt quite calm. I thought, you know what, people live with aneurysms till they're 120. Like, it's not always devastating. So I waited 3 months on the waiting list and proceeded to have another scan in December. This time was a very different experience for me. I felt just numb all over my body. I knew something wasn't right. And I just had tears streaming down my face during the MRI. And if anyone's had an MRI, it's quite a long time in there. I'm like, I can't even wipe the tears off my eyes. But I don't want to push the button because then I've got to come out and go back in again. But anyway, in that moment, I just really felt this strong sense of God saying, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Off I went, forgetting about it and moving on. And on Christmas Eve, I received the news that the aneurysm was at risk of rupturing. So I'd be contacted for semi-urgent surgery within 2 to 6 weeks down in Christchurch, as we were in Nelson at the time. And I was in a bit of a shock, very unsure how to handle that. I'm like, man, I'm a ticking time bomb. Why am I getting rushed into surgery now? I don't want to die, essentially, was my main concern. I was scared, and I found myself, again, the only one who really understood me was God. He was my comfort. So 6 weeks pass. Stay with me. I know this is a lot of information, but we'll get there in the end why this all matters. 6 weeks pass, and I'm down in Christchurch, February 2016, all pumped up on the words I've been given, the prayer that was surrounding me, friends and family that stood by me, and I thought, man, God's got me. This is such a great story of, you know, God providing an opportunity for my aneurysm to get coiled, and it hasn't ruptured. Like, what a blessing, right? But waking up from surgery to someone apologizing to me that it wasn't successful was extremely, extremely disappointing, but also very confusing. And they later explained to me the main blood vessel pumping blood around my brain was right around the aneurysm, and if they proceeded, that it could be life-threatening or cause a severe stroke. So the decision was from then to monitor it. Every 6 months, have an MRI, and if it grew or changed shape, that they would do open brain surgery. So that began my journey of trusting in Jesus when I have no control. I don't like to say I'm a control freak, but I definitely like to know the plan. So this was really, really hard for me. Trusting when I felt like I was a ticking time bomb waiting to go off. Dealing with health anxiety whenever I'd get a migraine or a headache, I'd have to go into hospital and get a lumbar punch and a CT scan to check it wasn't bleeding or ruptured. Migraines run in my family, so that was a frequent visit, going to the hospital. So every day really was a day of trust. Every day we all live trusting in the unknown when things don't make sense. He is with us in it. I knew that people did live their whole life with aneurysm, so I felt positive that mine was sort of tightly wrapped up in there and I was going to be okay. But then I would have moments of absolute panic. of feeling like I wasn't going to be okay and, yeah, quite upset by it. I'd let my humanness totally overcome me. Fear of the future, fear of not being around to mother my children, fear of something going wrong. I had to really take hold of those thoughts and give it to God. Couldn't take Panadol or a round of antibiotics to be gone with it. All I could do was trust every day. In times of deep loneliness and not knowing how or who to talk to, I would continually come back to time in prayer and worship that carried me through. When people say to me that they aren't religious or they don't have a faith, my response is always, man, I can't afford not to. It has been too real for me that I can't deny it. I don't know what people turn to when they don't have faith. A peace that really does surpass all understanding. My relationship with God definitely hasn't only been like indoctrinated from my environment or upbringing. It's come from a deep place of desperation, of not being able to do it without God from a young age. On Christmas Day in 2015, we were at Josiah's sister's house for lunch, and Josiah's grandma, who sadly passed away now, she would give us a calendar every year as her gift to us, and usually I'd be like, oh, I'm going to take this straight home and put it in the recycling bin. This year, it was significant to me. I didn't really feel like talking, so I thought I'll just flick through it as people were chatting. And then I started reading through it, January. Perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4:18. Usually I resort to fear and can easily feel fearful, but in this moment I felt peace overcome me. February, the living God is among you, Joshua 3:10. The scriptures went on, and each one was very significant to me on my journey. And lastly, Hebrews 13:5, God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. As I sat there reading the power in each month's verse, I knew that this moment, this time in my life wasn't my worry, it's God's and he's got me. If I trust in him and I do wholeheartedly, I have no other option not to. I had to get to a place where even if it didn't work out the way I thought was best, it was going to be okay. This moment got me through. It allowed me to rise above the situation I was facing and realize my days are in God's hands. And even if the surgery didn't work, I still trust. And that is what got me out of the disappointment I faced. A calendar from Grandma Beryl. Who knows in what way God will speak to us? It is up to us to listen and have an open heart. It is essential for us in every season to first give it to God and trust. We must trust. God will use the faithful that trust. So many of the great stories in the Bible start with someone trusting and stepping out with courage. They trust God, and he's always with them. It takes courage to trust in situations that are sometimes so scary, so unhopeful. But when we trust God in these situations, in the uncomfortable, in the crazy and dangerous, that is God's specialty, and he responds to us. Unfortunately, we can't perfectly plan and predict how life is going to go, but we know one thing remains the same, and that is our relationship with Jesus. No one can take that away from us. It all starts with trust. When my license got taken off me, it was a real inconvenience. It was a real bump in the road. And actually, since then, I've had it taken off me a few times. I think we're good now, hopefully. And it led really to a road of safety. That inconvenience actually led to something that was much better than losing my license. Hindsight is a beautiful thing. If someone had told me how it was going to work out, it would be way easier to trust, but I suppose that's faith, right? We have to trust in the unknown, and we don't have all the answers. So in July 2017, we sold our house in Nelson and moved up our family to Auckland to plant a church, as you do. And I continued to have my 6-monthly MRIs. And in March 2018, I found out that my aneurysm was growing and aggressively getting bigger. So I had to go see the surgeon. I knew what this meant. I'd been warned. And before the surgeon on the Friday, I went to a conference that our friends were running. And I knew I needed to go. And the speaker was praying for healing. And I was feeling really fearful. And so I responded. And he came straight to me. He didn't know me. And he just said, "You will live and you will not die. You will live and you will not die. I see your husband and your children in school colors on your wall, and you are standing with them. You will live and you will not die." He knew nothing about me. We were in a room of people that we didn't know. And even though he didn't know me, God did. And God used this situation to encourage me. You never know when God's going to speak. It might be through a calendar, might be through someone. We just have to be open and listening. But in that moment, I really did know that God had me and he was holding me close. So I met with my surgeon and he said he will be meeting the other brain surgeons. They have a monthly meeting. You learn a lot when you're in the health system. I feel like almost sometimes I'm like a part-time doctor. I'm totally not. I know that's a huge insult to people who study for their whole life. But you do learn a lot when you're going through something. And they said this case was interesting to them because of my age, just what it was interesting to them. So they were going to just decide what the safest option was, and they decided the safest option was to have brain surgery, open brain surgery this time. And this terrified me, as I knew this was probably going to happen, but I kind of didn't believe it would happen, and the fact that it was happening for real was really, really scary. I left the surgeon's office upset. I knew it was the right thing. Like, I did know that. And the surgeon said I was on a four-month list because they felt pretty confident that it was going to be okay till then. And we'll have one more MRI to see how it was going. So the next week, I had an MRI, tried to put it behind me. Then we launched our first church service in Avondale, which is very exciting. And anyone who's planted a church, which I'm sure a lot of you can relate with, it's a lot of energy and effort and excitement and anticipation, and we had our crew. And it was awesome. We had such a good time. And then the next day I was driving over to the shore with one of my best friends trying to find coffee, and the surgeon's secretary called me and said, "Kristen, we've got your results back from your MRI. It's not going to be 4 months. It's going to be this Friday. On the 9th of March, like, we need to get you into surgery quick." I was really shocked. My first thought was, that's not in my plan. I haven't got my cute hospital pajamas or my, like, good toiletries. You know how you have to have everything sorted? Even my mum had a hospital bag packed. She's hilarious. She brought a whole separate set of everything on the go to always come up. She was amazing. But, vanity aside, my second thought was, that's my eldest son's 11th birthday. We've already sent out invites. I can't have major surgery on his birthday. What if something goes wrong? I can't do that to him. There was no way around it. I had to have surgery on the 9th of March. And that night I was crying on my bathroom floor and felt God's voice say so strongly, "Kristen, this is not an accident that the surgery is on the 9th of March. The 9th of March was the day you became a mother at 17 and you were at your strongest. And at that same strength you felt on that day, that same closeness you felt to me, you'll experience that the same." I knew in that moment that I had to pull myself up and put my trust in Jesus once again. So I was admitted on the evening of the 8th, and at 7:30 a.m. on the 9th of March, they wheeled me through to pre-op. And I was getting wheeled out. I saw my surgical team in the distance. And if you've been through any hospital surgeries or anything, like, the neurologists are like the cool kids in the campus, you know? Like, it's very much like, well, they were my cool kids anyway. I was like, I love those guys. But they were walking, but a team of like 20 with their entourage. And in that moment, I looked over and I just imagined like a Biggie song, like, going through as they're like walking through, and like all the other doctors and nurses are looking at them. And I'm like, yeah, that's my team. And to this day, I do think my brain surgeon is the best brain surgeon ever. But I was so grateful for them. I looked at them and I had this deep feeling of gratitude and thought, that's my miracle. Those people are my miracle. Like, that is my miracle, walking to prepare to save my life. Anyway, I looked at them and felt a sense of trust. before surgery, in some stage of pre-op or something, I can't quite remember, but I remember having a really unusual experience. I don't know if it was a dream, a vision, a thought, I'm not sure. I might have been a bit drugged up. But I remember thinking about it and reflecting on it. It was such a beautiful moment of almost an out-of-body experience of me floating above my body, chilling with Jesus and looking down and thinking, you know what? That is like so not my problem right now. That's just a shell. This is what matters right now. And it gave me such a sense of peace when I was in pre-op that God was so with me. And whatever the outcome was, it's kind of so, it just so made me feel like that this is just a part of the journey, a part of the story, and that God is so with us in those moments, and that our life is so fleeting, but our relationship with Him is forever. It was really beautiful. It's hard to put it into words, but I've actually spoken to a few people who have had surgeries and experienced similar things. But our current situations we're walking through are real, our emotions, our fears, our concerns, but when we trust God, it brings comfort in the chaos. Your current hardship that you're going through right now is not your forever. Yes, it's a chapter in your book, a part of your story, but chapters end and new ones begin. Sometimes it's really easy to put the book down mid-chapter and we can lose hope in the book and lose the fullness of the novel that was created for us, for our lives. In our hardship, it builds strength and trust and encourages others, but it's how we make the next chapter count that truly encourages. For me, I was at my bravest on the 9th of March 2007 as a young mum, and once Isaiah was born, the hardship I felt through that pregnancy had come to an end. Once the next chapter had begun, the joy of Isaiah being born was the next chapter. The same on March 9th, 2018, when I was being wheeled into surgery, the fear, the worry, the concern that I was a ticking time bomb, that was going to leave when I woke up in the start of the new chapter. Now, I still have to learn to trust God in the unknown and the things I can't control. I have regular EEGs to scan my brain, and sometimes the brain activity is a little bit wild, and that's scary. I don't have control over what's happening in my body. But I have to trust, be grateful, and also just daily put my trust in God. If the worship team could come up, that would be amazing. Your story has the power to encourage others. Someone else's story has been written to encourage you. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. God doesn't promise an easy journey, but He promises He will be with us. He may not change the outcome, how we thought it would best be, but He meets us in it. This morning, whether you're filled with faith or fear, you can bring it all to Him. Every day is a day of trust, and today, right now, is your opportunity to just hand it over to Him. What are you trying to control that you need to let go of? Where do you need to allow space for God to speak to you? Man, this one's a reminder for me. Are we listening or are we just ranting? What do you need to trust God with? Lord, I just thank you so much for every person here. Lord, I just pray that they would feel encouraged, Lord. Lord, whatever they are journeying, Lord, if they've been given some really difficult news, if they're going through a situation that seems impossible, Lord, I just really pray they'll know what it is to come back to you and put their trust afresh in you again. Lord, I just pray for peace. I pray for comfort. And I pray for courage. Thank you, Lord.